Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. This is a Herd at Sports podcast. Justin here, along with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. Tonight, we are going to go over our defensive depth charts. We're going to do the two deep. Last week, we did the offensive depth chart, so if you haven't listened to that episode, go check that out. Guys, I think what we're going to find out tonight is we're going to do a lot of agreeing. That's what I think. I think, especially with the starters, I think there's going to be a lot of agreeing, and maybe there's going to be some disagreements in the two deep. But Derek, did you struggle at all putting this together?
Not starter wise, I don't think, but some of the backups, it was pretty tough to come up with a name here or there. I think for the most part, it was pretty pencil in, but there was a few spots I was kind of going, shit, I don't know who to put in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tyler, I tell you before we get there, one of the hardest ones for me was Isaac Gifford. Who's going to back him up?
Yeah. The dude never comes off the field. He doesn't have a backup.
Yeah.
Tyler, what about you? Did you struggle with this?
Yes and no. Here's the thing. We know there's going to be a guy or two that pop out. And we were talking about this before. Like, guys, we were a 5-7 team, and I know our defense was good. But we have a lot of true freshmen on this roster. I mean, we have 31 true freshmen. On defense, it's like 14 of them. Like, it's like I don't know how many true freshmen are going to come up in our
defense. Of those 14, like 10 of them are defensive backs.
Well, that's true. But there's going to be a guy or two that we're not on our radar today. You're starting to hear these names start peaking in spring, and some of them are bullshit. We'll never see the field. Some of them will be starters by the end of the year. And that's what makes this fun, is just we know there's going to be something. It's like, oh, didn't see that guy coming. And they'll be the guys we all fall in love with that never see the field.
So, Derek, how many starters did we lose on defense?
Oh, boy, put me on a spot. Three, I believe.
Luke Reimer, Nick Henrich, Quentin Newsome.
Quentin Newsome.
Is that all we lost?
I think that's all we lost, wasn't it? Oh, well, Omar unless you want to count.
Omar Brown. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Three and a half.
Blaze Gunnarsson had a starter, too, but I don't know if you'd count him as a starter.
I wouldn't. No. So, okay. So that's why it was easy to pencil in the starters. And
yeah. Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. That's it. All right. Well,
both, at least.
Let's really get into this here. Derek, we'll start with you. We'll do start with the defensive line. So you got the sheet. So let's hear it.
All right. Well, I mean, starters were, I mean, Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmacher are probably the most easily inked in members of, like, they're guaranteed starters as long as they're healthy, right? No, there's not a single soul in the country that could argue that. No. I don't know if you could say that on too many other levels of any of the defense, offense, anywhere, as much as you could Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmacher. I got Jamari Butler starting for the other spot on the defensive line. And then for backups, I have James Williams, Cam Lenhart, and I went with Riley Van Poppel, who I've heard a lot of good about. I will say this. Jabari Butler and Cam Lenhart, I put 1A and 1B. Like they're going to rotate. Whoever starts, whatever. But I think they play pretty much equal amount of snaps. And I had a couple honorable mentions, a couple names that got brought up that I thought were interesting. Sua Lafotu and Vincent Carroll Jackson. And then there's that one guy that Tyler was talking about that you always hope, that I keep hoping to see, and I don't know that I've heard much about, is Kai Wallen. Like, I keep thinking he's going to start seeing some time on this line. And remember, we've seen 7, 8, 9 guys last year, and I anticipate we'll see that again this year.
So I'm going to add this here, because your starting six, your starters, and your backups are identical to mine. I want to know why you put James Williams in there, because I thought I was going to be the only one that would have James Williams, a walk-on, as the backup at defensive end.
Because it was such a big deal to even redshirt him last year. Like, they wanted this guy playing so much last year. Why wouldn't he be in the top two this year?
I just thought I was going to be the only one because he was a walk-on, but, I mean...
They have literally had conversations in the media and the coaches about why they redshirted him.
Yeah, he's a beast. So... Let's hear from Tyler. Let's hear your starters and your backups, Tyler.
Yeah, so starters, I got Ty Robinson, Nash Huntmacher, and Cam Lenhart. I'm with you, Derek. Jamari Butler is right there. Probably one of the hardest decisions is who to start there, but I went with Cam. I got Van Poppel as backup to Nash. And I was close with you guys, but I did go a different way with Elijah Judy. Okay.
And that's not a bad name.
Williams is right there. Williams is right there. And actually, I briefly considered getting a little crazy and moving Chief down to defensive end, because I've heard he's kind of been floating around there, you know, between that Jack. And I just think that Jack spot is loaded. And I was like, oh, maybe he comes down to defensive line. AJ Rollins was another name. I'm like, you know, you heard some hype. I did not have either of the redshirt freshmen really kind of fighting that out. They weren't really considerations for me. But, yeah, I mean, we had about 8 guys that played last year. I expect that to be the same. I think, to me, the 7 guys are kind of the too deep. And then it's like, who's going to be that 8th guy? And I don't, there's a lot of names that could be there. I mean, we all had defensive line as our strongest position.
Yeah.
And doing this exercise... 100% like backed up, like, yeah, this is easily our best position on the field.
Right. Episode 305, for the listeners that did not hear it, we did the strengths and weaknesses of the position groups. So go back and listen to that. But all of us had defensive line as our top position group. So, and it just shows. I mean, you know, you can go 6 deep here easily and have, you got playmakers there. So this is going to be a fun group. Derek. Oh, I'm sorry. Tyler, linebackers.
Yeah, so my starters at linebacker are Wright, Bullock, and Princewill. I think that the Jack spot with Princewill is kind of probably the most debatable for me, and that was with him and MJ Sherman. So I had both of them on that aspect. And then for the other two, I'm going to go with Mikel Gebeyer and Thompson.
Who's that first one that you said?
Makai Gebeyer.
The G is silent.
It's just Bayer.
Gebeyer. There's
Bayer.
A G.
It's Bayer.
Are you sure? Have you asked him?
Yes. He was on the podcast. Don't you remember?
When the hell did I miss that episode?
You were easily replaced. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Say what are your backups again.
Bayer, Sherman, and Thompson. Okay. And I know Thompson's probably going to be the debate there. I just think we brought him in. I can't see him not being in our too deep to start the year.
Derek?
All right. I got John Bullock, Princewill, and I still got MJ Sherman in there. I think there's a good chance to see both of them playing. Backing up, I got Vincent Shavers. I think this guy is making a move. He's getting a big name for himself already. I got him backing up John Bullock. I got Javon Wright in there behind Prince Will, and Mekhi Bayer in there behind MJ Sherman.
Okay. For me, at the linebackers, I have John Bullock and Javon Wright. Then at Jack, I have MJ Sherman. I think it means something when he was the first one, when he speaks today. I think that kind of means something. I'm going to read into that a little bit, that he's speaking to the media. Not today. I guess it was yesterday. Backing them up, I have Mekhi Bayer, and I have Stephon Thompson at linebacker. And then at the Jack, I have Prince Will Unwemelin backing up MJ Sherman. I like this group, guys. I mean, it's a fine group.
It's not quite as experienced as you probably like it.
No, but I think there's a lot of athleticism there.
But there is a lot of athleticism.
There really is. To me, it's not even the experience. It's like, is there that guy? Like, you know, we've had Luke Reimers for, you know, it seems like half a century, and he was just so dependable when he was healthy. But you knew he was always going to be in the right spot. I think this position, there's going to be more rotation than we've seen in the past. You know,
we've seen quite a bit last year.
But I think there's going
to
be
a lot more than what we have in the past.
Yeah, I think that's going to continue this year. Especially at that Jack position.
I also think Dylan Rogers and Maverick Noonan are two guys that will probably get some playing time. I don't know if they're quite in the two deep, but I think you'll see them with a lot of playing time this year.
Derek, where do you have Chief Borders in all of this? You don't?
Pretty much. I mean, he's an afterthought, right? Like
he was for me. I mean, he was a guy that was easily
he's listed as defensive lineman on the roster on on Husker Max, at least. There's not a spot for him on the defensive line that I can tell.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I remember him last year moving down to the defensive line because he wasn't working out at linebacker very well. So you went from a room that you maybe had a shot to a room that you have no shot to get in. And he's just an afterthought now, I guess.
I don't know if he doesn't have a shot. I mean, again, he's a junior. He's got two more years of eligibility.
Maybe he makes a massive jump.
Yeah, I mean, last year was his first year. I'm not ready to write him off, and I don't think you guys necessarily are either.
No, I'm not necessarily writing him off. I just right now, if you're asking me, I don't see a spot for him. I'm not writing him off. It would not shock me or surprise me one bit if he came out and made a name for himself. I just right now, if you're asking me, of all the names to choose from, he's not my top ones to choose from.
So he did play in 11 games last year, but I believe most of that was special teams.
Hey, special teams matters too. So Justin, I think we had our first disagreement there. Am I the only one that had Prince Will starting?
Derek?
No, Derek did. So I am starting. The only linebacker we were all aligned on was Bullock.
Right.
Javion Wright, to me, was an easy pencil in. That was a very little thought. I thought he was very impressive last year, and I think that playing opposite of that Jack spot, I think that's really where he'll shine.
I agree. So that's, yeah, we didn't really differ very much other than, you know, I think, Derek, you didn't have Stephon Thompson at all in your two deep.
I mean, I have him in my honorable mention, but, and again, he's another guy that I would not be shocked if he plays a lot. I would not be shocked if he's in the two deep.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that mentioned Vincent Shavers. And maybe.
A true freshman, right.
And I'm probably the only one that's reading too much into it. And I probably am reading too much into it. But it just, when coaches go out of their way to mention a guy, it makes me think that he's got a pretty good shot at least playing. Not guaranteed to play, but.
Okay. Moving on to defensive backs, let me take this one. I think this is an area where we are going to disagree a little bit here. At corners, Tommy Hill, he's an automatic starter. I think Malcolm Hartzog, I think he takes the other corner. At safeties have Deshaun Singleton and Marquez Buford. And, of course, Rover is Isaac Gifford. I mean, no one's going to unseat him. For the backups, backup cornerbacks, I'm rolling with Dwight Boodle. And I'm putting Bly Hill in there. And so he's kind of like an afterthought for me. But hearing Tony White talk about him made me think that it's like, wow, maybe this guy is super impressing people. Maybe he is pining for this backup corner. So I threw him in there at safeties. I didn't know what to do here, guys. I really didn't. When you hear Tony White talk about playing the top five guys, in a kind of like a, I guess, quasi-positionless defense, top five defensive backs, putting them out there. I just threw Ethan Nation and Jeremiah Charles in there at safety because I think they're the most athletic guys coming up in that next batch.
Well, it's crazy. Sorry, not to interrupt, but it's crazy because this is the one position group where we did not see a lot of rotation last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the returning starters that we have this year, I don't expect to see a ton of rotation again.
You may be right, yeah. And then finally, backing up Isaac Gifford at Rover, I put DeAndre Barnes in there. Derek?
All right, so obviously my starters are exactly the same as yours, because why not? We are in a green kind of podcast, aren't we?
That's it, yeah. Shocked.
My backups are a little different, probably not as far different as you might think. I have Jeremiah Charles, who was mentioned as taking cornerback spot, so I have him as a backup corner. Bly Hill, as I have him as the other backup corner. And then I went with Dwight Boodle as one of the backup safeties. I'm a Boodle boy, you know. Always liked them Boodle guys.
Clearly.
And then there was a name. I went with this name because I think he made a name for himself a little bit last year and didn't get quite as much playing time as I thought he would. It was more of a spring name, I guess. But Sincere Safiulua. Safiulua, however you say his last name. I apologize. I have them two as your backup safeties. And I had Kobe Brets as a backup to Isaac Gifford.
So Derek, you don't see Dwight Boodle as a corner? He played corner last year, and he did quite well doing it as a true freshman.
Well, I wanted to put him there, but I heard so much about. I mean, I know Bly Hill is a backup corner, and I heard a lot about. Been hearing a lot about Jeremiah Charles being a backup corner, so I still think he's good enough to be in there somewhere. So and you know how Cooper likes to make all these guys play all positions, so I thought maybe he'd squeeze in there at safety.
All right, Tyler.
Yep, so starters, I got for my corners, Tommy Hill, Malcolm Hartzog, safeties, Singleton and Buford, and Gifford rounding it out.
Wow,
so
you I think are that's unanimous on the starters there. Yeah, that was the easiest group to pick.
That was easy. And then, honestly, guys, like there's a lot of candidates coming out. To me, I kind of want to attack this a little bit differently. I actually am going down like the list of like the people I'm most confident on. And the first is Ethan Nation. I feel like there was a ton of buzz on him last year. I think that we saw him at return. I think we see him there. I think he is going to be a backup. I put him at the corner spot. I don't know if that'll be where he is, but he's the first one I had. Next one I had up was Bly Hill. He is also a corner for me. Again, tough to be told. Then I went Kobe Brets. I think he is just the natural guy to back up Isaac Gifford. I was pretty confident with his name. It seems like he is that kind of tweener guy out there. And then I went Dwight Boodle, I think at safety. And then the fifth guy, I was between Charles, which you guys mentioned, but I'm going to go – I ended up ultimately going with Bryce Turner. You know, he converted from wide receiver after high school last year, was on the higher side of the recruiting prowess. Coming out, I mean, kind of looking at that fifth name, there was, I mean, I honestly could have gone with any of the other 18 DBs and with any more confidence. But Jeremiah Charles is a good guy I thought about. I also thought about Roger Gradney coming in and as a true freshman, and maybe he would get some of that.
For a true freshman, my top true freshman, maybe not top true freshman, true freshman I had listed there was Mario Buford.
Yeah. Buford and Gradney.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, again, there's just so, I mean, I understand why this coaching staff brought in as many true freshmen, because obviously if you're going to run a 3-3-5, you need DBs, and, you know, we're going to lose a lot. But when you have, was it 9 or 10, like, true freshmen, it's a little bit like, isn't someone going to crack the two deep? And if none of them do, like, looking at next year, I mean, you're sitting there, you're like, well, we're going to lose three starters. Like, that depth gets a little concerning if none of these true freshmen really get any reps this year.
So what I would say, Tyler, is there's 24 defensive backs that are on the roster right now.
Yes.
So, you know, so 10 of those. Let's say you take 10 out. I mean, redshirt freshman and higher, I mean, that's 14 bodies right there. And we all liked this class last year that came in. Matt Rhule's first class of defensive backs. The guys that we're talking about starting, I mean, the only one that we didn't really talk about as getting cracking the two deep is Ramir Stewart.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough to get on the field as a defensive back. We already talked about they didn't rotate a lot last year. And it's going to be tough. These guys might be superstars by the time they're, you know, sophomores and seniors, but junior seniors, but man, a true freshman, it's going to be tough with the amount of bodies that we have there. It's all quality depth. We have quality depth at defensive back.
So do you guys read anything then in the fact they brought in so many? Because if the answer is the coaches were, hey, we're 100% confident we have our two deep established, and none of us really end up going there. Like, don't you think you could have deferred? I mean, with all the scholarship problems that we're still in, I know Matt Rhule doesn't find him any, but we still have 101 scholarships on roster. And it's like, man, you couldn't have waited next year to bring in a couple more DBs? Like, I know, Derek, I feel like you were a little bit critical of roster management when you saw that many
DBs. Yeah, it made no sense to me.
The only way it makes sense to me is if you think you need the depth.
I think that you're on the verge of losing five DBs this year, though.
You know, five?
Yeah. Gifford, Hill, Singleton. And I think Marquez Buford and Hartsog, I think they pack it up, too.
I mean, unless they're getting drafted, I don't see them going anywhere. Yeah,
I don't know where I see Hartsog going, unless you think he's transferring.
I don't know about Buford either. I mean,
they've been in the system for a long time. Buford's really been here for a long time.
Hartsog, this is only Hartsog's third year. He was starting as a true freshman, right?
Yeah. Did Buford play as a true freshman also?
He redshirted, I believe.
I thought he just redshirted last year.
Okay. So he got his redshirt last year? Okay.
I mean, The starters on defensive back are so good. Like, and Justin, I feel like I was a little dismissive. I think Hartsog and Buford are both really solid starters. I think the interesting thing is going to be Singleton. His health is a little bit of a question mark. I think we expect him to be back in there, but, you know, who is going to be that next DB up? I think that's one of the headlines for the spring game is what do they do at defensive back and who do we see?
So if there's an injury to any starter, I mean, is it most devastating if it happens to one of the starters in the defensive backfield? Would you agree with that? I'm just going on defense, defensive line, linebacker, and defensive backs. If there's an injury,
I would probably agree with that, just because, not that I don't think we have depth there, but there's, you get past those best five guys. The experience becomes very limited behind them.
So I don't think you're crazy here, but I disagree. I think that when you look at Nash and Ty Robinson from an injury standpoint, if you lost one of them, I think they're so unique in their body types. Not that we don't have quality depth that can step in. I think we do have better depth there. I just think those two are just, they're different. They're built different. And I don't know if our defense would respond. Like I don't even want to necessarily name a name, but like if Singleton isn't able to go, like, do I think, like, man, Ethan Nation could come in there and, you know, do something, you know, pick it up, or whoever that guy is. I think the answer is probably, I just think as good as the depth is, like, those two are just, they will, especially in the Big Ten, knowing what we're going to have to go against, I just think they set the tone.
Nash and Ty are the most indispensable Huskers on defense, is what you're saying.
I think so. I think Tommy Hill is arguably just as good. I think Tommy Hill is in that category. But if you look at holistically, I think if you're saying, Singleton, if he went down, I mean, that would suck. That'd be unfortunate. We'd definitely lose a step, but not as much as if we lost Nash.
You know what? I think you're talking me into that. I think I can see that with Nash. Especially being on the trenches and what he can do.
It's very hard to argue with that sentiment. I mean, I think a defensive back, generally speaking, is a little easier to replace a defensive lineman.
Yeah, and maybe a different way of saying this is I think both Ty Robinson and Nash have all-conference caliber potential seasons in front of them. And while I think Tommy Hill does, and I think Hartzog's really good, and I think Buford's really – I think all those guys are really good. Gifford's really good. I mean, he could be all-conference. I think that, like, there's probably four preseason all-conference guys on this defense and two of them on defensive line. And so I think as holistically that would be kind of why I would lean on that.
You think there's just four all-conference guys?
I think Gifford, preseason? Hill, Robinson, Nash are the four. I mean, again, I think Hartzog could be. I don't think his sophomore season wasn't quite enough. I think he could definitely rebound. I think Buford was injured too much last year to really get any kind of buzz like that. Singleton also too injured. So, and then linebacker, I just don't think we have an all-conference guy. I mean, maybe Prince will take. I mean, as good as he was last year.
Can I just say this? I was actually really, really shocked that you guys both listed Princewell as a linebacker when we just had an episode 2-3 weeks ago where you guys both had him listed as a defensive lineman. I guess you guys were going off the scholarship distribution chart, and I was going off the roster on Husker Max. You guys kind of looked at me like I was crazy when I talked about Princewell being a linebacker.
Derek, I'll be honest. When you talk about that Jack spot, and that's with Chief Borders too, like, Princewell could move the defensive line. That wouldn't shock me. But with Butler and Cam, I just like, well, God, you got to get him on the field.
And so MJ Sherman talked about that also at the Jack position, and he named Princewell by name when he was talking about the Jack position group. So that's what made me put that in there, just based off of what MJ Sherman said in his presser yesterday.
Well, because I was waiting for you guys to argue with me on that, and I was, because I had a 24/7 article that was previewing linebackers, and he was listed as one of the linebackers in that article, and so I was kind of ready to come up with that when you guys started talking about being D-line, but you guys ended up having him on the linebacker. So
I certainly thought about it. It wouldn't shock me, but yeah, I mean, the fact that MJ's talking about him in the Jack room and just not, I mean, he played more Jack last year, so.
Yeah. Derek, you wanted to ask a question, right?
I did. What did I want to ask a question about?
Well, I don't know. You had a question, like something about number one defense or something. What was that?
So, all right, we'll go here.
I thought you wanted to.
Well, we have, no,
don't back out now.
I'm not backing out. We never confirmed. So here's my question for you guys. All right. And I think it's a tough question, really. But Tony White mentioned something about, and you could take it for what it wanted. Or you could say it's coach speak, say what it was. But he said something about wanting to have the number one defense in the country. And so I got to thinking about it. And I was like, man, looking at our schedule, because I really don't see a lot of explosive offenses outside of USC, Ohio State, and I'll put Colorado in there. So do you guys think that there's really a chance for Nebraska to be ranked the number one defense in the country? And it's such a tough question to ask because there's so many categories you could go through. But I'm just going to tell you this. I went through all the major categories, and the last time Nebraska ranked number one in any of them was in 2009 when Nebraska ranked number one in scoring defense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty good defense.
That was a pretty good defense, and I'll be honest, no. I appreciate Tony White saying that. I think that should be his aspirations. I think Marcus Satterfield should want to be the number one offense. I mean,
it wouldn't be that far off. Like, we were 11th last year in total defense.
I think it is hard. There is a decent – I don't think our defense is going to take a giant step forward. I kind of
expect him to.
Well, so then you think it's on the board. If you think we're going to take a giant step forward, there isn't much
room. I don't know about a giant – Hold on. Let me put it this way. There's one area where I think our defense could take a giant step forward, and it's in the pass defense. Because I think our secondary is going to be much better than what they started out to be last year.
Well, I think on that note, I think our pass rush could be really dynamic. I think Cam Lenhart and Princewell, I think getting them another year, Jermaier Butler, I think we have the guys that can get after a quarterback that can influence teams passing.
Either 2009 or 2010, I can't remember which one it was, probably 2009, we were number two in sacks.
Yeah, I mean,
But that's still not number one.
To me, I expect our defense to kind of tread water.
I'll say this. I don't think we'll be a number one defense, but I expect us to be probably top 10 in most categories. Maybe not every category. But
no. Okay.
We were top 10. I think we were top 10 in rush defense last year, if I remember right. Or maybe we were 11th on that, too. I don't remember. But I didn't go back and look that up. But I expect to see a little bit of a jump in this defense, yes.
So we had 32 sacks last year. Do you anticipate more sacks than that? If I set the over-under at 35.5, over-under.
That's a good number. I'd probably go slightly under.
Slightly under? Okay. I mean, we are... 35
is a lot of sacks in the season.
We are returning guys that had just a defensive line. 17.5 of the 32 sacks are coming back on the defensive line.
I would really have to go back and look how many of the teams we're playing that are going to be a little more pass happy. I mean, I don't know who's going to be run heavy. Like, I don't think we're going to get a lot of sacks against Iowa.
On the sack front, I mean, I have a crazy idea. You put Princewell, Butler, Cam.
God, if you fucking say NASCAR package, I'm going to punch
and you run the NASCAR package.
Gosh damn it, Tyler.
Just telling you, get those four pass rushers on the field with Ty Robb. I mean, it's going to be MJ Sherman. Just go with the pass rush.
Has that NASCAR package ever worked out for you?
Tell you what, the New York Giants won a Super Bowl doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to go back some years.
Eric Shenander might still have a job if he would have listened to me.
I'm sure. I am sure. I bet he kicks himself in the teeth every day for not listening.
Why didn't I think about the NASCAR package? Damn. No,
just remember, last year's number one defense won the national championship. So.
Oh man, Derek, calling your shot. National championship.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Just throwing
it out there. No, I don't think we're quite there yet. But I do expect. Well, no, I'm not saying we're going to be a number one defense. I don't think that's probably going to happen. But I don't expect to see a drop off at all. I expect to see at least. Another thing Tony White mentioned yesterday was how much further ahead they are this year than last year, which is pretty typical in a second year defense. But if he could get that much out of him in a first year defense, you got to expect him to get a little bit more out of him in the second year.
Yeah.
Especially when you have this many returning starters.
Who do you guys think will be the MVP of the defense this year?
Oh, man, that's so tough. I'll lean towards Isaac Gifford.
He's going to be your MVP? Okay.
That guy's always all over the field. How's he not a good pick, you know?
I think I know where Tyler's going, but I want to hear it.
I mean, great pick with Gifford, but Tommy Hill.
My God, Tyler, I was for sure you were going to say Nash or Ty. I mean,
those are the four candidates. I think we've hit the four names. But no, I mean, I am the card carrying banner man for the Tommy Hill bandwagon. And I think that, you know, it's been a while since we've had Cam Taylor-Britt was a great corner, but he really didn't cause the turnovers. Like, he wasn't getting interceptions. I think Tommy Hill, like, you have to go back quite a ways to see in a corner that can cause interceptions the way I feel like he's going to be able to do this year.
So why is he can catch the ball on defense and not on offense?
I mean, how many targets does he get on offense? I mean,
was just run deep. I mean, yeah, he just did go deep. And had to rely on Harbaugh to hit him deep.
So, okay, here's another question for you guys. This one just kind of popped in my head here, but. And feel free to have not an answer, because I don't even know who I would pick. But every year we write a guy off, at least Justin and I. Tyler's a little bit better about not doing that. And I think Justin and I both kind of wrote Tommy Hill off last year. Like, he was just – we didn't expect anything out of him, right? And he turned into a stud. So who is that player this year for you guys, do you think? Who's that player that you're kind of writing off that could actually be really good?
So I got a name.
Go ahead.
So I'm not saying anyone's written him off, but I think with the hype that we saw of him last year and where he's at right now, MJ Sherman. I think everyone looked at him as the most impactful transfer. He's going to start. He's going to light the world on fire. And was a large afterthought. Hell, I don't even have him as a starter. I don't think Justin has him as a starter.
I have him as a starter. I do have him.
Oh,
as
you have
a
him
starter.
Over Princewell?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't have him as a starter.
But the reason I did that is because he was the first guy talking. He was guy talking at me, when defense players stopped.
I just think that the hype with him last year, and it really didn't come to fruition. I think a lot of Husker fans have kind of forgotten about him. And it wouldn't shock me to see him have a hell of a season.
Derek, I dare you to say Chief Borders. I dare you to say Chief Borders.
I was actually thinking Elijah Judy if I was going to give an answer.
You know what? Yeah, I had started to pencil in Elijah Judy at defensive end. I was like, but, I mean, he hasn't been impactful. He came with a great name.
But he was a five-star guy.
Yeah. I don't think it was a great.
What about Malcolm Hartzog?
I don't put him in that category because I don't think anybody's written him off. Like,
but I think last year a lot of people were.
I called a sophomore slump a little bit last year.
I mean, I don't know. I might be wrong on this, but I think if you look at last year at this time, we were talking about defensive MVP, and I think he was a very popular name we were throwing around, and. I don't know about you
remember
guys.
Remember, as a freshman, he led the team in interceptions.
I know, but
he ended up with zero last year.
When you were talking about defensive MVP, did his name even come to your mind?
No.
So a little bit of a write-off. A little bit, because he's definitely dropped in stature. He wouldn't shock me if he was in that category. I mean, he could be a huge rebound guy.
Yeah. I don't disagree with it.
That's good.
I just don't quite put him, considering I have him as a starter, I don't consider him as a guy that we've written off, I guess.
This is a great like Twitter thing. If anyone has any names of people we have not given enough credit to tonight, like throw it in there because there are some guys on defense.
Call us out.
Well, Derek, yeah. It's not fair because Derek gave him a whole bunch of honorable mentions. I mean, he was going three deep in a two deep conversation.
Did. Yeah,
I mostly only did that on defensive line, and you told me I could do that. There was no rule against that.
You didn't take a stand, Derek.
You're right, because I think there's going to be 9 guys playing on the defensive line like there was last year.
Well, yeah, there's probably more than 6 wide receivers are going to play. We didn't go 9 deep at wide receiver.
That's true.
Well, we probably don't have 9 receivers that could play.
That's...
Yes. What... I guess that kind of goes hand in hand with what you're saying, a guy... So what guy that do we not have in our two deep here that you could see like earning a start this year? Is there a guy?
Is it James Williams? Like, I mean, even though I didn't even have him in my two deep, like since I didn't have him in my two deep, he's the guy that like if he ended up starting, it would not shock me.
The problem is who's he starting over?
Well, so I mean, if there's an injury, which I dread, all right, I think that's the only way he starts, right?
Yeah, that's the only way he starts.
I mean, unless
it's a situation, maybe he starts against Colorado, where it's a pass heavy team, and they're like, he's a better edge rusher than Hotmacher. Let's get him in there.
Again, Justin asked, I mean, for a guy that's not in my two deep, who's the starter? I mean, I think if I'm listing all the guys that I didn't have in my two deep and I'm stack ranking, I'm going to say, who do I think is the best non-guy in the two deep? It's him. So
what about Maverick Noonan?
I think James Williams is better than Maverick Noonan.
Okay.
I hate to disagree with you a little bit on that, Justin. Maverick Noonan's been a name that, God, I was so excited to watch him that last year. And then he got hurt right before the season started. Because they were bringing up so much. They were bringing him up in fall so much last year. The only question with him is, can he get fully healthy to the point to where you can get back to where he was last year, I guess.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. Any other questions about defense? I really like this defense overall.
Yes.
I don't think they're top five material. Sorry, Derek. I don't think they're top five material, but...
Well, I'm not. Well, I didn't say top five. I said top 10, but...
So you basically have them the same as last year.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
A little bit better.
All right. I would be shocked to see
this. They weren't top 10 last year, so I am just cracking the top 10 this year.
It's like 1 yard difference. I just want to clarify.
That's all that matters.
They can stop 1 more yard a game to get top 10.
What I need them to stop just a little bit more is maybe get down to like 17 or 16 points a game instead of that 18.
Let's see.
Or our offense could score. That would also be a solution.
That would be a big help.
Cool.
All right. Anything else, guys?
Team scores.
Well, let's get out of here.
All right, let's get out of here. We're out of here in under 45 minutes. So special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcast. Hit that subscribe button. And don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. And as always, go Big Red.